guarding the last outpost of freedom, like a beacon of light to the world, and exercising our freedom of speech like we're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark. And brother, it's starting to rain.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
It is time for us to realize that we're too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams.
I have a dream that one day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
This is American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr with Lewis R. Abalone.
I mean, what a week this has been. You had 8 people killed at that FedEx facility near Indianapolis, near the Indianapolis airport. Then you've got this 13-year-old who was shot by Chicago police.
Yeah.
And you know, when bad things happen, we want answers. And the truth is, many people say, why does God let bad things happen? Here you've got 8 people that were just murdered. Innocent lives lost.
Right.
13-year-old boy. I mean, you're 12 or 13 years old. What are you doing holding a handgun,
right,
being chased by the police?
Right.
What are you doing out at 2:30 in the morning? This is just a boy that's just being stupid. And then you've got to wonder, and I know you say, where are the parents?
I say that.
But at the same time, kids sneak out of the house. I mean, look, growing up, I didn't sneak out of the house.
Did you sneak out with a gun?
Well, that's
Did you run from the cops?
But you know, this is just a little boy.
Yeah.
This is a little boy. And yes, did he pose a threat to that police officer holding that handgun? Absolutely. Can a 13-year-old pull a trigger just as much as a 21-year-old?
Yep.
Absolutely. But you mourn each and every time that people lose their lives so literally, senselessly. I mean, you've got 8 people in that FedEx facility. And you know, many people say, why does God let this happen? Why does God let bad things happen? And the truth is, you can't know all the reasons why God lets bad things happen. I mean, we live in a world that is marred by sin. So difficulties and disappointments are bound to cross our path each and every day. Now, Scripture teaches us that all things work together for good to them, or for them that love God.
God will take something that's designed for evil and he will turn it for his good. But God also gave us free choice. We have free choice. It's how we use it.
Okay, but wait a minute.
God didn't walk into the FedEx and shoot people.
No, he didn't.
But a person did.
But those 8 people who lost their lives, just going about their lives, doing their job, trying to earn some money to pay the bills, to support their family, what did they do? And so here you've got, and again, you know, it's absolutely heartbreaking. But let's stop calling these shootings. Let's call them murder, because that's what they are.
They
but yet
are.
The media, right? I mean, yes, it is a shooting, but the media does prefer to call it that. But that doesn't adequately describe the unjust, cowardly, selfish, and evil act of taking an innocent life. So what you're doing is you're basically taking the focus away from the evil act, and you're putting it on the method or the means by which someone carried out that evil act.
The problem isn't that somebody shot a gun. The problem is that someone shot that gun intending to kill someone else. It was the murder that was the problem. Shooting a gun isn't a problem. There are appropriate ways to shoot a gun. There are appropriate times and places to shoot a gun. That's not the problem.
Right. It glosses over the fact that a person was the ultimate cause of the murder,
right,
and the shooting was merely the end of a chain of decisions that started with that person deciding to murder. And of course, there are folks in Congress right now and state legislatures all over the country saying, we've just got to do something about this quote-unquote gun violence. And you know, my heart, it hurts. It absolutely hurts. But doing what? What is it that you want to do? There are nearly 500 million guns in the United States. Now, Nancy Pelosi came out and said, we need common sense gun legislation. Well, the only common sense gun legislation that is going to address the fact that we have 500 million firearms in this country that are held by civilians, mm-hmm. most of them law-abiding.
The vast majority.
Is to confiscate the guns. Is that the answer? That must be the answer. That's what the left, when they talk about common sense gun legislation, that's the only common sense legislation that makes sense. I mean, if you're going to achieve the end that you say, which is to save lives.
If we're going to stop shootings, then you have to take away the guns. But here's the thing. When she says we need common sense gun legislation, that suggests that all the gun legislation we have, and there's a lot of it, does not have any common sense in it, right? Because otherwise, we already have common sense gun legislation. I thought asking people to buy who are wanting to buy a gun to have a background check, I thought a lot of people thought that was common sense. I thought that saying, you know, killing someone, murder, that's illegal. I thought that was common sense. Are these laws that we already have, are they nonsensical?
Well, I mean, what if accessibility to guns, though, was unrelated to the causation of people murdering one another? For example, we've talked about this on the show, how only the United States and Yemen mm-hmm. have more guns per capita than Switzerland, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And despite 2 million guns in circulation, 2 million...
In Switzerland. Not a very big country.
Guns were used in less than 120 murders over the past 10 years.
Past 10 years. Past 10.
Exactly. That means the murder rate is 17 times more in the United States than in Switzerland, where there is also a wide accessibility to guns.
It's not about the accessibility to guns. It's about the understanding of right and wrong. That's where we are. We have too many people in this country who have no idea the difference between right and wrong. That 13-year-old boy with a gun in his hand at 2 o'clock in the morning, did he fully understand the differences between right and wrong?
No, not at all. And look, the other part about this is just because a person murders after acquiring a gun does not always mean that they murdered because of the gun.
No.
So that
it's not like a gun forces you to murder
somebody. But let's talk about that for a minute, because that murderer in Indianapolis, he's a murderer.
He's not a shooter. He's a mass murderer.
He's a murderer.
Right.
Okay, so this murderer, obviously, you've got to have some mental issues to take the lives of so many.
Yeah.
I mean,
you certainly don't respect human life.
I mean, you can look at Columbine. You can look at the Mandalay Bay. You can look at that nightclub in Orlando. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are people that are troubled.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I go back to, if you're going to remove guns from the bad guys, the guys who shouldn't have them, how do you do that when you've got a country where you've got 500 million handguns or rifles, shotguns,
How do you take guns away from people who would use them for murder and not take them away from people who wouldn't use them for murder? How do you take guns away from people who would use them for murder and not take them away from people who would use them to prevent themselves from being murdered?
So here, this police officer, I don't know the answer to that.
And neither do the Democrats. Neither does anybody
say. But you got to do something.
There's no common sense gun legislation that's going to say if you're a bad person, you don't get to have a gun. We already have that. Felons aren't allowed to have guns.
But here's what's
interesting. But that doesn't seem to work, does it?
Earlier in the week, of course, up on Capitol Hill, they said that charges would not be pressed against that Capitol police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt,
right,
dead in the Capitol. She was unarmed, by the way.
And doing something she shouldn't have been doing in a place she shouldn't have been.
Okay. But yet, the cop that was in the process of arresting Dante Wright,
right,
of course, there's protest and there's looting. And I'm sure there's going to be more about the shooting of this 13-year-old boy in Chicago. It's just heartbreaking.
Let's get to the top three things you need to know before tomorrow. Well, constitutional carry may be coming to Texas. A constitutional carry bill passed the Texas House this week on an 84-56 vote. It would allow Texans to carry a handgun in public without a permit. The sponsor of the legislation, Republican State Rep. Matt Schaefer, said, quote, Under this bill, people who are prohibited from possessing a handgun will still be prohibited from possessing a handgun. Sensitive places where the unlicensed carry of a handgun is prohibited will still be prohibited. But if you are a law-abiding citizen age 21 or older that can legally possess a handgun, you will be able to carry that handgun in a holster in public places where it is not otherwise prohibited.
See, by and large, gun owners are law-abiding citizens.
The vast majority.
And some folks are afraid of constitutional carry, but look, concealed carry laws mm-hmm. have never stopped a criminal from carrying without a license. All it does is prevent law-abiding citizens from carrying a firearm without a license.
Second thing you need to know before tomorrow, former White House spokesperson for President Trump, Sarah Sanders, has already raised nearly $5 million for her campaign for governor. That's the most in the first quarter of any gubernatorial campaign in Arkansas's history. Only $1.5 million of the $4.8 million she's raised so far came from inside Arkansas, but that's still more money raised in the state than Sanders' main competition, Attorney General Leslie Rutledge, has raised overall.
Well, yeah, and so she's pointing out, obviously, Ms. Rutledge is pointing out that almost all of her money that she's raised, which it hasn't been a lot.
Well, $1.2 million is what she's raised.
But she says 80% of that comes from Arkansas contributors.
But again, that's still less than the $1.5 million Sanders has raised from Arkansas contributors.
This is going to be an interesting race.
It is. So, third thing you need to know before tomorrow, carjackings are up this year in New Orleans. The city's police chief, Sean Ferguson, told WWL that there have been 81 carjackings in the Crescent City so far this year. That's a 65% increase over the same period last year. Chief Ferguson said the police really can't stop these crimes, saying, quote, I don't know how you resolve these type of things. It really catches up to the public to be very, very cautious.
Well, the new DA there, who's subject to his own indictment for tax evasion, he says he's not going to clog up the court dockets with cases that arise out of addiction and mental illness and homelessness. So these folks carjacking, I guess they could just plead that they're mentally ill.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Coming up next, we're talking to the mamas. Stick around.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Ronald Reagan once asked, are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in the long history of the world? Well, that's why we made this CD. Freedom Sings is a collection of songs from America's history. Each one tells a story from our founding up till today. Not only do we include classics like America the Beautiful and This Land is Your Land, but we also tell the stories behind the songs, who wrote them, and why, and what they mean to everyday Americans when they first heard these patriotic tunes.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
If you want your kids to know what America represents in the long history of the world, then you need to get Freedom Sings. Just look for it in the iTunes store and download it for your computer or mobile device. Get Freedom Sings for your kids and keep liberty marching on for the next generation.
The Conservative Kid Growth Kit, a fun, patriotic adventure for children ages 5 and up. Journey back to America with the entire family with the Growth Kit travel suitcase, including presidential tumbler, a Teddy Roosevelt teddy bear, and exclusive Founding Fathers flashcards that introduce the words of the Founding Fathers. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit is the perfect gift. Fun, educational, and endless activities. Preserve our freedoms for the next generation. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit at conservativekid.com.
Maybe it was that fourth grade teacher who believed in you. Or the big-eyed girl who smiled when you were the new kid. Maybe it was watching your child as she took her first steps. Those aha moments in life when everything seemed to come into focus. Those are the bright spots that lift us up when we're feeling down and show us a path from the ordinary to the extraordinary. America's history is filled with bright spots, too. The greatness of America is that it allows each of us to see the greatness within ourselves. That is how America became great. One dream, one bright spot at a time.
Bright Spots Big Country, What Makes America Great by Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and brightspotsbigcountry.com.
Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And all was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite!
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin
stone.
The odometer! drive. Ingenuity, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you say what you want to say and let the words fall out, honestly, I want to see you be brave.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Paul with Louis R. Avalone. Louis, I want to say welcome to KACT Radio in Andrews, Midland, Odessa, Texas, the newest station on the American Ground Radio Network.
We're so excited to be with you tonight.
Exactly. Appreciate you guys listening and tuning in. You can check us every weeknight, 6 to 7 o'clock, out there in Andrews, Midland, Odessa. Thank you so much.
All right. So listen, you were talking about how this police officer in Minnesota accidentally discharged her gun instead of the taser.
That's what the police department put out a statement today.
Okay,
saying.
So now there's body cam footage out showing basically that the police were in the process of cuffing Dante Wright during a traffic stop when he broke free and jumped in his car. The officer screamed, "Taser, taser, taser," before she accidentally or
pulled the trigger.
Was it intentional? I mean, that's for a court of law to determine.
But I think the officer saying taser, it sounds like the officer believes she has her taser in her hand, not her firearm.
Well, and according to the police chief, he said the officer accidentally discharged her weapon instead of using a taser. But he was trying to flee.
Right. And he was wanted on a weapons charge.
They're not really advertising that part. There was a warrant out for his arrest already.
It was a gun charge.
And so, I mean, as an officer, that's going to escalate how they deal with you.
Right.
But, you know,
because there's footage of him with his weapon in that car.
Not saying that it was justified.
Absolutely not.
I'm not saying that. That's for...
But I'm saying police facts, will be heightened.
No, the facts have not come out.
Exactly.
But, you know, Franklin Graham made the point, and this was years ago. You know, if a police officer tells you to stop, this is Franklin Graham. He says, if a police officer tells you to stop, you stop. If a police officer tells you to put your hands in the air, you put your hands in the air. If a police officer tells you to lay down face first with your hands behind your back, you lay down first with your hands behind your back.
It solves a lot of problems. Now, look, there are always, if you think that the police officer is doing something wrong, you can always argue that in court later.
But every encounter with a police officer is not an opportunity to prove your point.
And especially when, apparently, according to Dante's mother, she told him not to run. And then he tried. We got a question for our American mamas. Dear mamas, do you think the mask holes will ever stop, even after everybody's vaccinated?
Well, let's ask our American mamas.
Mama, mama,
mama told me not to come. She said,
and joining us now are American Mamas Terry Netterville and Denise Arthur. So this question, mask holes, that's a term that you guys have been using for people who are shaming others into wearing masks, whether they've been
put
vaccinated.
Put your mask on, Stephen.
I'm doing great. I can't. The whole show goes.
Wah-wah, peanuts.
Do you guys, I've heard Fauci say, you know, we get vaccinated and you still can't go and play at anybody else's house if you're a little kid.
Can't eat indoors, can't have people. So, yeah, and you know, here's what I love about that. Because all I keep hearing is that the numbers are high in Democrats getting their vaccines, but the Republicans, because we're rebellious, won't get our vaccines. But then you got Fauci telling you if you get a vaccine, you're still in jail.
Yeah, yeah.
So what good is he doing? How's he helping the cause?
Oh, my gosh, y'all. Don't even get, you know how I feel about this. You know how I feel about this. Okay, let me just give you an example. To me, it is a total power trip. And I, look, if you want to wear a mask, fine, wear your freaking mask.
She called it a freaking mask.
I hate that we are being forced to wear a mask. If a mask works and you wear it, you should be good to go. If you have the vaccination and you wear a mask, you're good to go. Y'all, Texas lifted, you know, governor lifted that mandate, right? Well, I was at Rice University cheering on our Bulldogs. And we were at the stadium. I promise you this happened. While I had nachos, french fries.
Of course you had nachos.
Yes, I had several things to choose from because I thought, you know what?
Food.
I don't want to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So I'm going to eat. I mean, I gained 5 pounds every weekend. I take it off for the night because I will just eat. Well, let me tell you what happened this time. I'm eating my nachos and this security guard comes around and she gets right in front of me, in front of all of our fans. And she said, ma'am, I've been watching you. You're doing what we call popcorn eating, and you're not eating fast. You're eating slowly. We call that popcorn
eating.
That's
why I'm a size 2, Big Mama. Move on.
No. And she said, so you either need to eat at a more consistent rate or put your mask on. I said, come again?
I thought they were done with that. Is it because it's a university? Is that the problem? Because you were on the grounds of a university and they're still in lockdown.
Well,
they're not following orders of the rest of the state. Is that what you're saying?
Houston's mayor is a Democrat. So in Houston, you have to wear a mask. You have to wear a mask when you ride your bike, when you jog, when you're in your car. Everyone's wearing their mask. So after I made her repeat that, I said, you know what? I'm not going to cause a scene. I'm not going to cause any trouble. I'm going to put my mask on because I'm not going to eat faster for you who is watching me eat. But I need to know, please just tell me that you know this is crazy. And she said, ma'am. And I said, I just need to know before I put I just need to know that you know this is insane that you're watching at the speed rate that I'm eating and you're coming and telling me I'm not eating fast enough for you guys, so I have to put my mask on or eat faster. Please tell me that you know this is insane. And she said, it is insane. It is crazy. But I'm just trying to do my job. And I said, you know what? Thank you. That's really what I need to know. Put my mask on, and I was miserable.
Well, you should have told her to call Dr. Fauci, because you know how many times you're supposed to chew your food? Just saying. Were you chewing
your
food like you're supposed to chew your
Apparently,
food?
Apparently, I wasn't doing it at the rate of speed that they thought was
appropriate. But see, she's getting paid. She could have turned her cheek. If she thinks that's stupid, and you're sitting there and you're eating, then she should have turned her cheek and moved on. That's the mask hole police right there.
It is. Well,
and that's ridiculous.
I started watching the way that they were policing everybody. There was a man for Rice University. He was cheering on his kid. He pulled the mask down, and he is just cheering his heart out for his boy. And a masked police went over there and signaled for him to put his mask on. Yeah.
Like, what's he going to, give him a penalty or something?
I don't know. But I said to this one cop that came over there and told these little six-year-old boys or three little boys sitting together away from everybody. They didn't have their mask on. They had their food in front of them. And he said, boys, put your mask on. And I turned around. I probably shouldn't do this, but I get so angry at the mask holes. And I said, okay, sir, I get it. This is your job. But please let all of us know that you know this is crazy.
You want him to admit it. You're getting a little crazy,
yes,
Terry.
Yes, call me crazy. Now, I want to know they understand that this is insane. It's not right.
So is pulling a whole family off an airplane because a 2-year-old will not leave a mask
on. You know, his answer was interesting. He said, it is crazy, ma'am. I've been doing this for 9 months. I have to have a COVID test every other day, and I still have to wear the mask, and my ears feel like they're going to fall off. But if I have to do it, then I'm going to have y'all do it.
So do universities, do they get to follow a whole other set of rules?
It's their mandate. Yeah, the president of Rice went 30 seconds after that governor, Abbott, said he was lifting the mandate. 30 seconds later, there was a tweet by this president from Rice University saying, as for our students and our faculty and our university, you will be wearing a mask. You will continue to wear that mask.
You will put your mask on and you will wear it. You'll wear three
Next
of them.
Next is going to be, your papers, please.
And you will chew faster.
Yes.
If you'd like to ask our American mamas a question,
Just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/AmericanGroundRadio or facebook.com/AmericanMamas. Terry Netterville, Denise Arthur, thank y'all so much. Well, coming up next here on American Ground Radio, we are digging deep. Stick around.
Keep your ear to the ground. American Ground Radio with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
When you need vehicle service or repair, come to Tire World. From oil changes to engine replacements, we've got you covered. Our techs are AAA approved and ASC certified. We sell Michelin, BF Goodrich, and other leading brands. It's our job to keep you on the road.
We are Tire World.
Is your website Americans with Disabilities compliant? Did you know it's the law? Did you know the federal government is beginning to fine companies up to $10,000? And ambulance-chasing lawyers are hunting down websites that aren't ADA compliant, causing massive financial chaos with nasty lawsuits? Defend yourself now. Make your website ADA compliant before it's too late. To get a free website review to see what you need to do to be in compliance with federal disability laws, contact me at 504-669-6076 or jeff@wgso.com. Hey, it's Jeff Cruer for New York Pizza, the oldest pizza parlor in the city, opened by Wayne Del Corral in 1980. They're celebrating 40 years of the best pizza in the city. Their pizza is thin like New York-style pizza, but they use a French-style dough to bring a New Orleans flair that you'll never forget. You've got to try the Snooey Bread, a delicious appetizer on a 5-inch seeded bun with mozzarella, Swiss, sliced Roma tomatoes, and oregano. The Big Apple is my personal favorite. A pizza with pepperoni, bacon, mushrooms, olives, green peppers, Italian sausage, and minced garlic. Unforgettable. Wayne is a New Orleanian, born and raised in the city, Jesuit UNO and Loyola grad. He operates New York Pizza and the adjacent Bronx Bar with his family. Go check him out at 4416 18 Magazine Street in New Orleans or call him at 891-2376. And if you mention Ringside Politics or Jeff Cruer, you get a 10% discount. Have you ever wondered if you're drinking too much toxic bottled water? Are you spending too much on it? What if I told you the very best water on the planet is not available in stores? Learn how you can save money and give your body healthy antioxidant water. I'm talking about Kangen water, electrolyzed reduced water. The alkalizing effects of this water are amazing. To set up a demonstration just for you, contact me at jeff@wgso.com or 504-669-6076.
When you need vehicle service or repair, come to Tire World. From oil changes to engine replacements, we've got you covered. Our techs are AAA approved and ASC certified. We sell Michelin, BF Goodrich, and other leading brands. It's our job to keep you on the road.
We are Tire World.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis R. Avalone.
You know, we talked earlier in the week about Charles Barkley and how he gave this honest opinion that basically politicians are the ones who make whites and blacks not like one another.
Sir Charles. And actually, there's some reason to say that, because race relations back, just 2014, 2013, they were actually very good in this country.
But see, there's a danger.
And it was after that they really got bad.
No, you're absolutely right. But see, there's a danger in what the media is doing with race relations.
They absolutely
continue to amp it up. Because what ends up happening, I believe, is that you dehumanize white folks.
Sure.
I mean,
all white people are, how many things have we seen within the last year?
Right.
Coca-Cola told its employees to be less white because white people are the problem.
Well, and now a Boston hospital, this is Brigham and Women's Hospital.
That's a very famous hospital.
In Boston.
Uh-huh.
They have now introduced a pilot program that uses reparations framework to focus on black and Latino patients and community members and prioritizes their care over white people. I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up. I mean,
they're going to take care of black patients first. They're going to take care of white patients last.
And what they're doing is they're saying this is a pilot program that is replicable across hospitals all across the country.
You can be racist everywhere.
But see, it also, you can get your 15 minutes of fame with racism, right?
Sure.
I mean, in a college, this was in Michigan's Albion College.
Man,
did you see that?
I did. It's in our fake news Friday. Go ahead. You stole it from me.
Oh, I didn't steal it from you.
Yeah, no.
It's all over the news.
All right.
Anyway, there was racist graffiti everywhere.
Yes.
As if this is the only fake news headline
There's more.
There was racist graffiti that appeared in a college dorm.
Right.
And it said all sorts of horrible things like die, you know what,
right.
And then KKK white power.
Right.
And then it was also anti-Semitic. It had a Star of David with the number 666. Anyway, the whole campus went up in arms.
They marched. Yeah.
And everyone called out that this has no place in our society. And it doesn't.
Right.
But guess what?
It wasn't a white person who did it.
And he finally...
It was a black student who did it.
Right. They had surveillance cameras.
Mm-hmm.
They brought him in for questioning. Turned out he did it to get attention. And that's what the media is...
That's what he's done.
Exactly. They're setting things up that folks... That's all we see is race now.
Let's dig deep.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to step down.
Okay, there's a controversy brewing in Oklahoma this week. A bill introduced by State Rep. Jim Olson would outlaw almost all forms of abortion. Now, that bill is controversial enough, but it became even more controversial in a hearing this week because Olson related the push to end abortion to the push to end slavery, saying both slavery and abortion were bad and that ending both practices would be good. Here's an excerpt of what he said from, this is from KOCO in Oklahoma City.
Okay, the context that I was addressing that, none of us would like to be killed. None of us would like to be a slave. If I had my choice, I guess I'd be a slave. At least the slave has his life. Once your life is gone, it's gone. And I'm not minimizing slavery. I'm illustrating the terrible injustice that was finally erased from Great Britain and eventually almost the entire world.
Okay, but see, I think the point he's making, the deeper point, is that there is evil in this world.
There is.
But there are levels or there are grades of evil.
Sure.
I mean, not all evil is equal.
Okay.
I mean, fair enough.
Okay.
Okay, and so he's not minimizing in any way, in my opinion.
But the Democrats are outraged by that comparison. Olson told the AP, I made a very historically appropriate analogy. I never spoke positively of slavery. One evil, this is what you're saying, one evil at a time was acceptable in our society, and now it's not. I look forward to the time when we stop killing babies. But again, Democrats are upset. This is State Rep. A.J. Pittman. She was on that council. She's a Democrat. She wrote, in times like these, where we see our nation on the cusp of reckoning social and racial injustices, we still endure implicit bias from our colleagues who are insensitive to what is said about the hurtful and ugly past of America's treatment of African Americans. Slavery is not something we should compare to anything in the year 2021 unless we discuss the spirit of superiority over women and people of color. Here's my question. Why can't we compare slavery to anything in 2021? Why not? Why is that out of bounds?
Well, it's out of bounds because for a lot of people,
yeah,
that's their identity.
Okay.
In other words, they have been a victim. They have been...
They've adopted a victim mindset.
And to let go of that...
would be painful to them.
Would be very painful because, you know, we talk on the show that the greatness of America comes from the greatness within you.
Right.
And if all of a sudden you realize, you know, that you had this greatness within you...
All the time.
That your destiny was not held by white people.
Right.
Then that's a pretty tough day.
All right. So the second sentence of the Declaration, because we talk about the second sentence of the Declaration on the show a lot. The second sentence of the Declaration says, we were all created. This is a self-evident truth. We were all created by the Creator, and we were endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I say, take all your political ideas and run it through that sentence.
Okay.
So in that context, why was slavery wrong?
Well, because it dehumanized
in the second sentence, what does it do? It takes away your liberty. Liberty is taken away by slavery. Well, if we're all given the right by the Creator to liberty, slavery's wrong. Make sense?
It does.
Okay. Now, take a look at the same thing. Why, in the lens of the second sentence, is abortion wrong? Because it takes away the rights of people to life. Rights that were granted by the Creator himself. And look, it's in a specific order for a reason. Life, liberty, then the pursuit of happiness. You cannot pursue your happiness if you're not free. You cannot be free if you're not alive. Life has to come first. So in that regard, how is abortion not worse than slavery? Because we're taking away one right that has to come before another. Look, again, Rep. Pittman, today we heard a claim that the abortion fight is bigger than the hundreds of years when African Americans were kidnapped and enslaved with no control of their bodies, families, or even recognized as humans. These insensitive ideas are alive and well in our capital. Well, let me ask you a question, just using her words. Do babies who are aborted have any control of their bodies?
Okay, but see,
are they recognized as humans?
Of course not. No.
So it's the exact same thing, isn't it?
Okay, I understand where the objection would be to making the analogy, because I think what you have to realize is, look, prejudice is present in our society.
Sure.
It's in the world. We're all prejudiced in some way, whether you might be prejudiced against people because of the color of their skin. You might be prejudiced against people because of the level of education that they have. You might be prejudiced against people because they don't have two pennies to rub together in their pocket. The bottom line is that we don't like everyone, but we are called to love everyone. And so folks that object to this analogy, what they're really saying is you're minimizing the prejudice that's in this world. You're saying everything is hunky-dory, and the reason that I'm not where I'm supposed to be in life is because I've chosen that.
And that's
not that there was prejudice in this world.
And we're not minimizing it. Look, in slavery, people, mostly white people, made money by selling other human beings. In abortion, people, mostly white people, make money by killing other human beings. Look at the numbers. In 1860, there were nearly 4 million slaves in the United States. Every one of that was wrong for every one of those people. Since 1973, we've aborted more than 62 million babies. We've killed more than 150 times as many babies as we had slaves. And by the way, there are almost as many black babies aborted every year as are born.
God help us.
We'll be right back. Fake News Friday.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Ronald Reagan once asked, are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in the long history of the world? Well, that's why we made this CD. Freedom Sings is a collection of songs from America's history. Each one tells a story from our founding up till today. Not only do we include classics like America the Beautiful and This Land is Your Land, but we also tell the stories behind the songs, who wrote them and why, and what they mean to everyday Americans when they first heard these patriotic tunes.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
If you want your kids to know what America represents in the long history of the world, then you need to get Freedom Sings. Just look for it in the iTunes store and download it for your computer or mobile device. Get Freedom Sings for your kids and keep liberty marching on for the next generation.
The Conservative Kid Growth Kit, a fun, patriotic adventure for children ages 5 and up. Journey back to America with the entire family with the Growth Kit travel suitcase, including presidential tumbler, a Teddy Roosevelt teddy bear, and exclusive Founding Fathers flashcards that introduce the words of the Founding Fathers. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit is the perfect gift. Fun, educational, and endless activities. Preserve our freedoms for the next generation. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit at conservativekid.com.
Maybe it was that fourth grade teacher who believed in you. Or the big-eyed girl who smiled when you were the new kid. Maybe it was watching your child as she took her first steps. Those aha moments in life when everything seemed to come into focus. Those are the bright spots that lift us up when we're feeling down and show us a path from the ordinary to the extraordinary. America's history is filled with bright spots, too. The greatness of America is that it allows each of us to see the greatness within ourselves. That is how America became great. One dream, one bright spot at a time.
Bright Spots Big Country, What Makes America Great by Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and brightspotsbigcountry.com.
Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And all was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite!
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin
Up
stone!
You go.
The odometer! And the lightning rod! Ingenuity, pass it on! From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com!
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Paul with Louis R. Avalone.
And again, any life that is lost, it's great sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's the unborn, whether that's someone at their end of life.
Being pro-life isn't just about being anti-abortion. It's about being in favor of life at all its stages. And it comes from the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence, where the Creator gave us the right to life first.
So when you're talking about someone like Dante Wright,
mm-hmm.
who was shot, by that police officer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some people say, well, he got what he deserved.
I'm not convinced he did.
You know, I don't know. I have trouble going there with you. But here's the thing. This is a guy who had a warrant out for his arrest for attempted aggravated robbery. He was choking a woman, holding her at gunpoint for money. So there was already a warrant out for his arrest.
Mm-hmm.
What he realized at the time that he was being put in those handcuffs is that he was going away for probably a pretty good long time. And he was so desperate that he's willing to risk his life. He was so desperate for his freedom that he was willing and to avoid the consequences of his actions.
Right.
And I guess where I'm going with this is, where are the black leaders in our community that can lend inspiration? I know there's a lot of folks in the black community, a lot of black leaders that try to fill that void. But we need something. We need something to show these folks that there is hope, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how horrible your sins may be.
And that there's a better way to be. There's a better way to live. And that leads me to a bright spot.
I'm doing all right, getting good grades. The future's so bright, I gotta wear shades.
So I saw this ad that was run in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's a full-page ad. It says, quote, Joe Biden and Stacey Abrams stop lying about the Georgia Election Integrity Act. And then they then listed lies versus truth. They said the law expands early voting. IDs aren't racist. The law prohibits passing out of food and water as a form of
electioneering. Wait a minute. Is this the Georgia GOP taking out a full-page ad in the newspaper?
Well, it's not the GOP, but you're like, well, what racist person bothered to criticize Stacey Abrams? Because if you're going to criticize Stacey Abrams, you have to be racist because she's black, right?
And yeah.
Okay, but then I went to the very bottom, and it said paid for by conservative clergy of color. I thought, whoa, who's that? Well, it's four black pastors who saw what was happening, and they formed conservative clergy of color because they thought they needed to be a voice of biblical truth when so many others
were spreading lies. You know, Joe Biden would probably say, you ain't black. You ain't black because, you know, they're not supporting him.
Right.
And his position denouncing this Georgia law.
It's possible, but here's Pastor Francisco Vega.
I'm making an appeal to you today as a clergyman of color. It's time for us to return to biblical civic responsibility in the gateway of government. There are many aberrant teachings and leadership models that are arising that are misleading our generation. Where are the leadership in the community of color that are able to take the reins on the mobs and the masses and guide them through biblical and Christian responses, trusting God to be able to right all wrongs and injustices?
That's a pretty good message.
That sounds perfectly logical to me.
This isn't just about the Georgia law. That's what they put the full page out on, but they've already existed before that. This seems to be more a reaction to Black Lives Matter and some of the other things that are happening in our culture right now. Let me play a clip. This is from Reverend M.J. Reed.
Black Lives Matter is not, I've come to realize it's not really about Black Lives Mattering. And I put a statement one time on social media. I said, all Black Lives Matter. I said, I like that better. Oh, why do you got to say that? Of course, you get people chuntering. Why all life? Because all Black lives don't matter. What do you mean it don't matter? Only it was when they killed by somebody white did it matter. It don't matter when it's 7,000 Black men killed a year, murdered a year by other Black men. Those Black lives don't matter. 900 Black children aborted daily. They don't matter. But if a white cop kills a Black man, it's World War III. It's time to loot. It's time to burn. It's time to set it off. We're not taking this no more.
But see, that's wonderful, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's what the Democrat Party, they fear.
They fear that message.
Folks like who you just heard.
Yeah.
This pastor.
Reverend M.J. Reed. They
because
fear him.
They want you to believe that the Black community, mm-hmm. the Hispanic community, mm-hmm. the Asian American community, all of these communities are these monoliths.
Right.
That they all think alike and vote alike. They all...
Demographics is destiny.
Exactly. And I don't know anything that's more racist.
I agree.
And yet that's perpetrated by the Democrat Party, and the mainstream media just gives them a pass every time.
And again, I liked they talked about biblical responsibility. You realize we wouldn't actually need government if we were just better people? If we just took more responsibility for our own lives, we wouldn't need government at all?
Yeah, but at the same time, more laws, more good laws, bad laws... Laws don't make
they don't
men,
make men
better.
Better. They don't. But good people being better means you have to have fewer laws. That's really the root of this. Why are we dealing with so many problems in this country? It's because we have so many people who have not been taught right from wrong.
It's just the basic Ten Commandments.
It really is. But we're not allowed to post those.
Or the Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
We're not allowed to post that either. By the way, these men are bright spots. If you'd like to support what they're doing or find out more, go to www.conservativeclergyofcolor.org.
Amen.
Coming up next, we got a moment of woe. So stick around.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Maybe it was that fourth grade teacher who believed in you. Or the big-eyed girl who smiled when you were the new kid. Maybe it was watching your child as she took her first steps. Those aha moments in life when everything seemed to come into focus. Those are the bright spots that lift us up when we're feeling down and show us a path from the ordinary to the extraordinary. America's history is filled with bright spots too. The greatness of America is that it allows each of us to see the greatness within ourselves. That is how America became great. One dream, one bright spot at a time.
Bright Spots Big Country, What Makes America Great by Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and brightspotsbigcountry.com.
Hey, it's Jeff Cruer for New York Pizza, the oldest pizza parlor in the city, opened by Wayne Del Corral in 1980. They're celebrating 40 years of the best pizza in the city. Their pizza is thin like New York-style pizza, but they use a French-style dough to bring a New Orleans flair that you'll never forget. You've got to try the Snooey Bread, a delicious appetizer on a 5-inch seeded bun with mozzarella, Swiss, sliced Roma tomatoes, and oregano. The Big Apple is my personal favorite. A pizza with pepperoni, bacon, mushrooms, olives, green peppers, Italian sausage, and minced garlic. Unforgettable. Wayne is a New Orleanian, born and raised in the city, Jesuit UNO, and Loyola grad. He operates New York Pizza and the adjacent Bronx Bar with his family. Go check him out at 4416 18 Magazine Street in New Orleans. Or call them at 891-2376. And if you mention Ringside Politics or Jeff Cruer, you get a 10% discount.
A lot has changed from when Nola Osh started school until the time she finished.
When I received my diploma, it was a big to-do.
At 95 years young, NOLA became the world's oldest college graduate.
If we don't concentrate on our ages, we go ahead and do things as if we were younger.
So no matter how old you are, live life and pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The Conservative Kid Growth Kit, a fun, patriotic adventure for children ages 5 and up. Journey back to America with the entire family with the Growth Kit travel suitcase, including presidential tumbler, a Teddy Roosevelt teddy bear, and exclusive Founding Fathers flashcards that introduce the words of the Founding Fathers. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit is the perfect gift. Fun, educational, and endless activities. Preserve our freedoms for the next generation. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit at conservativekid.com.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Paul with Louis R. Avalone.
You know, in these trying times, why would government officials want to give themselves a raise when so many people are hurting, when city services, state and local services are being diminished,
because,
being cut back?
Because power causes brain damage, and it affects the part of the brain that is able to understand empathy towards other people. So when you believe you deserve the power you have, you lose empathy, which means you think you should give yourself a raise when other people are hurting.
All right, so in Shreveport, Louisiana, where we're from, the city council there is proposing to raise the salary of the mayor by $30,000 a year. Ooh. They want to raise the council members' base pay to $25,000 a year. That's going to cost the city an extra almost $70,000 per year.
How many cops could you get for that?
Well, here's what's interesting. The Shreveport Police Department doesn't even have a working bathroom on the patrol floor.
Wow.
I mean, you've got cars that are falling apart. You don't have a working bathroom. You've got ceilings that are caving in. You've got work officers working 12-hour shifts, and we can't give them a raise?
Doesn't sound like you deserve a raise.
I mean, where's the logic here?
Whoa. Oh,
wow! When I say whoa, I mean whoa!
Louis, you know Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones?
Oh, yeah? Of course, okay. I do.
And Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters and Nirvana, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, maybe not all, right. All those.
Well,
but
they teamed up to write a COVID protest song. Take a listen. Looking out from his prison walls, gotta rob Peter if you're paying Paul. But it's easy, easy. Everything's gonna get really freaky. The song is called Easy Sleazy, written by Mick Jagger. He says he's trying to be upbeat about coming out of COVID. The chorus line is, soon you'll be a memory. It'll be a memory you're trying to remember to forget. Dave Grohl played drums, bass, and guitar. Mick Jagger played guitar and sang. But they did it in truly COVID lockdown fashion. Jagger was at his home in New York, and Grohl was at his studio in California. The video is online now if you want to check it out.
I guess it's not true that you can't get no satisfaction, even at his age.
May your pursuit of happiness bring you joy.
Anytime, anywhere. Smartphone, TuneIn Radio app, WGSO.com. On the AM dial at 990, we are WGSO New Orleans.